Unprepared to engage Mormon missionaries when they knock on your door? Perhaps the book Mormonism 101 will help. Mormonism 101, published by Baker Book. Available at your favorite Christian bookstore. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. But we also have with us a good friend of ours who's been on the show before, Dr. Corey Miller. And as I mentioned yesterday, Corey grew up in Utah as a seventh-generation Mormon before coming to Christ as a teenager, and he is currently the CEO of Ratio Christi. That's RatioChristi.org. If you want more information about Ratio Christi, it is a campus apologetics ministry, and I might add, a very needed ministry in this day and time, that's for sure. Yesterday, Corey, we were talking about your growing up in the LDS church, the struggles you had as a young person in the LDS church, especially at the age of 16 when you're starting to make the transition out of Mormonism into Christianity as a result of attending a Christian camp. I want to move forward, though. You go to college, and you're going to college as a Christian. Could you tell us, tell our listeners where you went and what you decided to major in?
As a new Christian, just after Army boot camp, got some GI Bill, I decided to go to the Salt Lake Community College in Utah and took some initial classes on engineering and accounting for money and hated those classes. Took one on humanities in the first semester, and the humanities teacher talked about myth for 6 weeks and lumped Jesus in there as a myth. And so at the end of the semester, we got an opportunity to give an oral presentation. I did mine on myth became fact, the fulfillment of Bible prophecy in the Old Testament to the New. And he kicked me out of the class and gave me an F for the semester for proselytizing. So I took that one legal. College president put me back in and gave me an A for the semester as long as I'd shut up. So I did. That's where I began. But then I ended up at Multnomah Bible College to finish out my undergrad in Bible theology.
Whatever happened to this whole idea of having different ideas and discussing them in college? Do you think that that's pretty much gone? Now, you know, I'm throwing that out as a bone because I know your answer on this, but why don't you explain to our listeners?
Right. Well, so then I left from a familiar area of Bible theology at a Christian school and ended up doing an MA in biblical studies there as well while working as a youth pastor. And then I transitioned into philosophy at a school in Southern California with the hopes that one day I might go on to a secular university and maybe I'd go for a doctorate. And so I studied philosophy under J.P. Moreland and William Lane Craig while working with the Josh McDowell Ministry and being a college pastor. When I graduated, I tried to get a job back in Utah at Salt Lake Community College and at Westminster. Both of them thought my resume was too religious. So I went back to Oregon. I taught theology philosophy for a little while and was a high school college pastor. Just got sick of seeing my students lose their faith every time they'd go off to the secular university. So like the Trojan horse entering the city of Troy, I decided to apply for PhD programs. Again, rejected at the University of Utah for having too much of a religious perspective, I guess. But I got accepted at Purdue University, and that's where I ended up in the Midwest for the last 15 years.
Give us a little bit more information about your experience at Purdue. I know your story. It's fascinating, but I think it's something that Christians should know, especially Christian parents. One of my burdens for our young people is that all too many times we take our kids, we throw them into the university situation, totally unprepared for what they're going to be facing. I know Christian parents want the best for their children. I know they want them to have a good education, but I'm going to be quite honest with you, Corey. I'm really worried about what we are doing with our kids when we throw them into the university situation totally unprepared for what they're going to face. To be quite blunt, the professors that many of our kids are going to face, most of them are not at all going to be friendly to their faith. Could you talk a little bit about that in light of your experiences at Purdue?
Sure. So by that time, I had two seminary degrees, and I'm not in Kansas anymore, Toto. I'm now at a secular university, Big Ten school, and got to study under William Lane Craig. Now I'm studying under William Rowe, one of the famous atheists in the field of philosophy of religion. And my experience there was 6 weeks into it. I'm getting prank calls at 3 o'clock in the morning mocking me for my faith from fellow colleagues in my department. My funding was through a different department, communications and rhetoric, and I taught classes there for 5 years. And I learned a lot about rhetoric and the art of persuasion, taught classes at Indiana University in religious studies and philosophy to bone up my resume for the job market one day too. And I learned how to fish for men in those classes. I learned the value of rhetoric. I learned how to navigate the classroom, but I faced off with Marxists in first or second semester. I had a Marxist professor put a permanent note in my file that I'm delusional and schizophrenic. I ended up going through legal proceedings as an ethics professor out at Indiana University, being said I created a suicidal environment merely because I gave both sides to the issue on homosexuality. I lost my first PhD during my fifth year at Purdue for having, quote unquote, too much of a faith perspective. And so I learned a lot about integration, and I learned the value of going after the universities, going after the professor in particular, which I started to see as the 1040 window of the Western world, the greatest omission of the Great Commission. If we fail to reach the professor, we're failing our future generations.
When you engaged the professors, did they respond in kind? Or it sounds like, from what you've just said, it seems like the response was more ad hominem and logical fallacies than really engaging in content. What was that like?
I mean, it's true for some. Even the famous atheist William Rowe, he gave me a letter of recommend, which I used for my second attempt at a PhD through the University of Aberdeen in Scotland. Friendly atheist, I was his last student, and we got along great. But there are some hostile ones as well. And the more we have a move toward Marxism, which is growing in the universities, they become more cancel culture-like. So I had some that were friendly, some that were very difficult to navigate around, and again, I unsuccessfully so at Purdue. But at the end of the day, the way I saw this through God's sovereignty is what they meant for evil, God meant for good. It gave me a bigger platform, ultimately. I had to learn how to fight and fight for the freedom to defend the faith, not just defending the faith. And now I'm able to do that and lead an organization with that modus operandi.
Well, I hope a lot of our young people listening to this show are taking into account what you have to say, because it is going to be work. And it's not going to be something that's going to be easy when they attend a secular university. But as we were talking off air, you see a lot of these same problems infecting even our alleged Christian universities, do you not?
Right. I think we lost the universities early, you know, 1880, 1930. Right now we're experiencing phase two. And that phase two is coming not from the sciences like it happened a century ago, but from the humanities. And it infiltrating our new institutions that we had to take a tactical retreat toward and start and found. And now many of them have cracks in the fissures. There's at least a token representative, if not the administration, backing these new views of critical race theory and some things that we would see as leftism or progressive Christianity.
You've mentioned critical race theory twice now. Could you very quickly explain it for our listeners? Because I don't think a lot of people realize how dangerous this ideology is.
Yeah, it's the critical race theory is built by the twin pillars of Marxism and race. And the idea is that people are in interlocking opposition to one another in identity groups like I'm black, I'm gay, I'm male, I'm this, I'm that. And you're either an oppressor or an oppressed, a victim or a victimizer, a have or a have not, in every category, race, class, sex, gender, etc. And since the ultimate problem is inequality in all the categories, inequality just means injustice. So the ultimate goal is social justice. And that takes place in, you know, reproductive justice, in abortion, climate justice, racial justice, intersexual justice. You name it, it's becoming entirely radicalized far beyond the left-right liberal-conservative divide of yesteryear.
And do you see this ideology bringing this all together?
No, it's an attack on the foundations of the classical liberal tradition, which includes inside of it the liberal-conservative divide. This is a Marxist ideology from the outside. And so I've got, there are more that could be said. People can go to our website, RocioChristi.org, and look up our publications. In particular, you could Google Engaging Critical Theory and the Social Justice Movement. We were the first to publish on it in the United States from a critical thinking and a Christian perspective on critical theory and the social justice movement.
Now, we've talked about Ratio Christi. How did you become involved in this organization?
Ratio Christi, as I was finishing my doctorate for the second time, I had spoken at one of their campuses in the UK in the David Hume Tower on the moral argument for God's existence while I was defending my dissertation at the University of Aberdeen in Scotland. 2 months after I graduated, Ratio Christi headhunted me, and they had a position of president CEO available. So it wasn't the direction I had anticipated, but here I am.
What are you trying to accomplish through this organization? The reason I ask that is I want you to explain to our listeners, especially to those who are considering going to the universities, about why they should get in touch with people like you.
Our mission is to equip students and faculty with historical, philosophical, and scientific reasons for following Jesus. Vision is thoughtful Christianity, transforming lives on campus today, changing culture tomorrow. What happens in Vegas may stay in Vegas, but what happens in the university does not stay in the university. If you want to clean up the pollution downstream, you got to go upstream, and that's always at the university. It's the most influential institution in civilization. So if we want to have an impact on our culture, we need to start upstream, and that's the strategic place. That's where we once founded the universities as Christians, but now we've been kicked out, and the only thing they want back in is our tuition dollars and our children.
If someone who is listening wants to get involved with Ratio Christi, how can they help?
Contact us at RocioChristi.org. Join the movement. You can give financially. You can join as an assistant chapter director or a chapter director on a campus. We're on 125. There are 5,000 campuses. Or you can help make people aware of the movement, what we're doing, and why this is, I think, one of the most strategic ministries in the country.
We're talking to Dr. Corey Miller, and you may wonder, this doesn't sound like Mormonism. But Corey came from a Mormon background. He uses that Mormon background, it really, in what he does today. It's looking at the issues critically and coming to proper conclusions. And he's with an organization, Ratio Christi, that helps people do just that. He's written a book called Engaging with Mormons, Understanding Their World, Sharing Good News. And we're going to be talking more about this book later on in the week. But I really felt it was important that we kind of veer off in this direction because it is a subject that all of us as Christians better be aware of. We should not be blindsided by what is going on, not only in our culture, but specifically in our universities. And Corey is one of the best to talk to on this subject. Now, Corey, tomorrow we're going to talk to you more about an article that you wrote for the Christian Research Journal titled How We Lost the Universities and How to Reclaim the Voice of Christ. I hope that you'll be back for our show tomorrow to listen to what Corey has to say about this.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.